Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
It's confusing, you know, this business of being a man. You go to open a door for a woman and it can be seen as either chivalrous or patriarchal. A stay-at-home dad is seen as either liberated or feminized. You do wonder what true masculinity is these days. Is it the silent and strong type? Is it the sensitive and peaceful? Is it something else altogether? Well, Gordon Dalby has written extensively on this very theme of masculinity. And when we spoke to him last year, the phones rang hot for the rest of the evening. He's with us again, so I'm expecting great things. Gordon, welcome again to Open House.
Thanks, Sharon. It's great to be back again.
It really was fascinating talking to you last year.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
And it shows that this is a big topic, doesn't it?
Oh, it's bigger. I was 3 months ago, actually. I was in South Africa. I was in Australia like a year ago with you folks. I'm going over to the UK again next year. Everywhere I go around the world, around the US, in New York 2 weeks ago, everywhere I go in New York, I had 100 men. I asked them, how many of you did your dad talk to you about girls, sex, anything like that? Not one man raised his hand. It's the same everywhere around the world.
Yes. It really is such a key issue. We really are confused about what masculinity is all about now. I don't think we, we just don't know what we're doing.
We certainly don't. I remember when I was getting a haircut in a barbershop in the U.S. not long ago, I had a magazine called Men's Health, and I picked it up. I always read the editorials, and the editor, 32-year-old young guy, really physically fit, and he's not a Christian or anything like that, but he was a very, very sincere man. He was writing an article about his father who had died 2 years previously. And he's saying, you know, I don't understand. He says, I don't know, I'm a man my age who doesn't feel like he's navigating his life without a map. He says, I'm still looking for my father to talk to me about success and marriage, religion and raising kids. And he's still looking for a dad. His dad died 2 years before. He says, all the guys I know, we're going through life. We don't even have a map. We don't know where we're going because we've never had fathers to speak into our lives.
You run a lot of conferences for men. You talk a lot about this very issue at seminars and in radio interviews and things like that. I want to get a bit of a reality check then on what the average man, based on what you're hearing them tell you at your conferences and things, feel about a few key areas of life.
Sure.
Let's start off with being husbands. How is the average man today feeling about being a husband?
Well, if most men pick up our cues on what it's like to be a husband by watching our father relate to mom, and sadly for most of us, we don't have very, shall we say, positive images in the U.S. today, at least. More than half the boys being raised in homes do not have their blood father living in the home with them. So they have absolutely no image, which is worse because that leaves a great vacuum. And the world steps in with the TV and the movies and the films and, just horrible things. You find these wimpy fathers who are big, fat guys sitting around being put down by their wives all the time from Family Guy and all these kinds of things. And the world steps into the vacuum and says, okay, to the generation of fatherless boys, this is what being a husband is like, and it just turns your stomach to think. So to what men are feeling is they're feeling very inadequate. And I think that word sadly covers the whole range of whatever else you might want to ask, whatever roles you have for us to face.
Well, I was going to ask you about how do they feel about their fathering, how they feel about their job of being a father, and whether they feel confident or well, indeed inadequate.
Well, if you haven't had a father there, you haven't got a clue what it's like to be a father. But worse, if you've had a father, most of us had fathers, like I said, who have not talked to us about sexuality, and women have not talked to us about being dads, and so we're left empty. And there are two ways to destroy a plant. I say you can either step on it, smash it, and kill it. That's an easy way, or just don't water it, and the plant dies. And it's a little slower process. You don't see it, but it's still dying. For boys and young and men, it's the same process. Either father can beat the boy up, and that sure gives them a negative image about being a man. But the father, if not even there, His manhood dries up. He has no father speak into his life and encourage him and support him. So not only do you feel inadequate, but with the inadequacy comes his gnawing gut feeling ashamed. I don't have what it takes to be a man, and they're going to find out. And when they do, I'm off the team.
So that's the key word, would you suggest, how men are feeling about being men, ashamed?
If you want to understand men today, you've got to understand shame. It's like, I don't measure up, I'm not good enough, and people are going to find out. And if the woman finds out, oh my goodness, you know, we've all got to be James Bond and all these kind of crazy Jason Bourne, somebody in these movies, like these tough guys always shoot everybody up. But we don't measure up, see? And when people find out about that we know what's going to happen. That's why my motto that you'll see on my website, a real man is a man who's real.
Yeah.
not playing those games anymore. We're out of the game. I fold my cards. Deal me out. I'm going to be real. I don't care for how shameful it is, whatever. I'm going to get to good. Other men who are on the same track who want to get real too, and we're going to work this out together.
Yeah, interesting that phrase there. I don't measure up. Boy, I can see that in so many of the advertisements that are actually aimed at men. Right here in Australia at the moment, in some of the capital cities, there's a very aggressive campaign that is of a sexual nature, and it's all about that.
Oh, I'm sure it is. And the same thing, a lot of beer and whiskey ads you find, you know, are all about be a man and drink this beer or something like that. And this is just literally, it's a lie from the pit of hell. I mean, it's not, let's be honest, of a false fathering to a generation of unfathered men. The real manhood comes from a father who speaks into the boy's life, who says, you know, I see you're good at that. You know, I think let's try some more of that. Or when my boy lifts weights, we do that together. I pat him on the shoulder and say, wow, you're getting strong. When he does a good job on his essay at school for his home assignment, boy, you're doing good on that. You could do good in that, you know. And I can just see his face brighten up, and he just walks away taller, you know. I think, wow, all I had to do was pat him on the shoulder, and he's like walking on a cloud. And I realized I never had that as a boy. My father never had that as a boy, but we can make a difference today.
Mm. This is Open House. Gordon Dalby is our guest. We're talking about masculinity. Theopenhouse.net.au has the podcast. You've talked a lot about the father wounds, and I guess to some degree you've already kind of outlined what that is, the fact that I guess there's an absentee father experience for so many of this generation and the previous generation.
Yes, it's a wound of absence, and we're crying out desperately for fathers. And sadly, there's a, you know, we just have to start getting real. There are other realities in this world. There are powers that will work in this world in a man's heart that say, you know, you don't feel like a man, you feel ashamed, but don't worry, I'll take care of it. I'll get you a woman. No, not one woman, but lots of women. Because one woman will get close enough to you, see, to find out that you haven't got it. And we don't want that, so we'll bring you lots of women. And if you don't want to date a lot of women and sleep with a lot of women, well, we'll bring you a website, lots of pornographic sites. You see, the pornography is a counterfeit grace. It tells a whole generation of fatherless men, you don't have to deal with a real woman. She'll mess with your mind. She'll tell you, should have picked up your dirty pants where you dropped them. What did you spend that money for? Why weren't you with the kids you said you're going to? No, she doesn't do that. Pornographic woman accepts you just as you are. You don't have to smell good, look good, do it right. She just comes and gives you what you want. And that's a huge seduction to a generation of fatherless men.
Mm. In fact, that's a really good issue for us to explore. How are men vulnerable these days because of this father wound?
Oh, we're exceedingly vulnerable because we're desperate for a father. So any man who will tell us we're okay, I heard once a man said, a boy will take on the values of those who value him. At the gangs we have in the U.S., so many street gangs in the U.S. are all fatherless boys, and the gangs value the boy. They tell him he's good if he shoots somebody else or he steals something for the gang. They make him feel like he's part of the manly community. And a boy takes on the values of those who value him. If his father values him, says, you're my son, I'm proud of you, I'm so glad you're my son, I value you, you're a good guy, then he'll take on the values of his father. But in the absence of a father, who does value him? Well, the whiskey companies value him. They say, you buy our whiskey, man, we'll love you, man. We'll confer upon you manhood and everything like that. So he drinks the whiskey and takes on the values of the whiskey and the whole powers of the world. And, of course, I'll look for a boss or a coach or anybody. Just tell me I'm a little bit okay, and I'll do whatever you say.
Well, that's very interesting, yeah. Anybody who will answer that deep fear that we have, yes, that we just don't measure up, as you mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I'm interested then on the spiritual side of things, because okay, we've got this father wound where we've kind of had that absentee father, and boy, a whole bunch of fathers are going to feel a bit guilty as we're talking about this. I mean,
I'm a father myself. I've got a teenage son. I'm not here to diss dads at all. I'm right in the pit with everyone else. I'm struggling. Any teenage dads with teenagers out there, my heart is with you, brother.
Yeah. And last time we spoke, we were talking about the origins of this this absenteeism of fathers, and we were talking about how, you know, on the natural level, it kind of started perhaps with the Industrial Revolution when guys started going back to the office rather than taking their sons out to work with them in the field. But also the spiritual side of things as well. So there are causes to this. I'm interested to know, though, how a man's relationship with his father affects his relationship and understanding of God.
Mm-hmm. Well, as Christians and as Jews as well, the understanding of God, the character that God has in the biblical accounts is as Father. And that's, you know, very calculated. It's very real. It's something we have to deal with. We can't just say, well, we're offended by that. It's sexist or something. We've got to deal with that. Because God knew somehow that this relationship of a father to his child would reflect something eternal, something basic and fundamental to life itself. And what happens with the boy, and a girl too, I might add, I have a whole teaching on daughters of the father and women. The wound is massive in women today, a father wound. And I wish I had time to go to my abbafather.com. You can check out some of those resources. But meanwhile, if a boy, he looks to a man called father, okay, now suppose the man called father is not there. The next thing he's going to include somebody, he goes to church and hears a God called father. He says, I know. That father's not there. He's not going to be there when I call. Daddy has never been there when I call. So this God, so he gets into religion. He gets into all the do's and don'ts and the rights and the wrongs, but wouldn't dare consider having a relationship with God because, hey, I had a relationship with my father once, and he left. And that's what fathers do, so I don't want any part of our father. Otherwise, a boy might have a father who lives at home, but he's very punishing, or, you know, if the boy doesn't take out the trash at the right time or get a certain grade, he punishes him and all these kinds of things. He says, well, I know this God. He punishes me if I do it wrong, so, boy, I better pretend I'm doing it right. And he's preaching all these 10 steps to godly manhood and the 8 marks of a champion spiritual guy, all adding more and more weight onto us instead of just saying, look, I need a daddy. I need a daddy. And once we get real like that and say, what I really need is a father, then Father God, who is portrayed so clear in the Scriptures and revealed in Jesus and present in the Holy Spirit, now I can do some work. Because guys say to me, look, I keep running away from God. Can you help me? And I say, yeah, run as long as you can. Just keep running until you're ready to say, get real and say, I want a father. I don't need another $1 million. I don't need to work at the top of the corporation. I don't need another babe hanging on my arm or to sleep at the night. I need a father because I don't feel like a man, and that's where manhood comes from.
This is Open House. Gordon Dalby is our guest. Theopenhouse.net.au has the podcast. All right, so you've taken this to a point where if we are going to reclaim our masculinity, really understand what it is, then the spiritual solution is going to be through a relationship with Father God.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, what we have to do then, see, first a man has to acknowledge his wound. If you don't know you're sick, you're not going to go to the hospital, and you're not going to get healed. Most of us are in this denial stage, as shame overwhelms. Oh, I'm fine. I don't need to get healed of any wounds. Well, okay, run as long as you can. Eat as much pig slop as you need to. But when you're ready to get real, get on your face. I'm wounded unto death. I need a father. Then I would encourage a man to begin to look at his father in a little different way. I would say, ask God to show you. The way I've learned to do it over the years is I pray and I say, God, would you show me my dad the way you see him? I see him as this neglectful, this very angry, this very punishing guy. Would you show me the way you see him? I want to see the reality of this guy. And however you do that, do it. And most men will find that when they do, they begin to see their father as a little boy, crushed and hurt by his dad, by grandpa. And you see his wound coming down through the generation. You realize dad just did to you what granddad did to dad and great-grand did to great-grand. And you just realize this is going to have to stop because you begin to weep for your father. You cry for your father. One man said to me, you know, a little boy cries from his father's wounds. Dad hurts and you cry. A real man cries for his father's wounds. You begin to see how badly your dad was hurt as a boy by his father, and you begin to weep for your father. So you begin to forgive your father then for what he did, for he only operated out of his own woundedness. He wasn't because you're such a bad person. It's because he got wounded himself. That's what he learned. The way a father treats a son is by watching his father treat him. And so he just does it to you all over again. So if you got to get that place, you can see your dad the way he really is, forgive him, let go of him. You realize you're never going to get from him what you need to be a man, and then you finally go to Father God, and you say, look, Father God, I'm going to start calling you Father, and trust that you've been revealed in Jesus, and that your Holy Spirit is present now. I'm asking you to come and make me a man.
Okay, now, give that a little bit more flesh, because some would say, sure, well, God is unseen. How on earth am I going to learn how to be a man from somebody who is unseen?
My father was quite an athlete as a younger man. He played tennis, basketball, football, swimming, all kinds of things in high school and college. I was not that athletic. But I did have a gift for tennis, many people told me, but he never taught me how to play tennis. And I remember one day I was praying. I said, I'm going to see what it means to call God Father. So I got on my knees and said, okay, God, wherever you are, whoever you are, I'm going to call you Father. And I'm going to say, if you're really God and you're all-powerful, then you can give me what my earthly father did not. Now, I said, okay, here's what I need that my dad didn't give me. And, oh, I was drawing them back on my knees because I – what you didn't get, a wound of absence, I didn't even know what I didn't get. So I had to ask God, okay, what didn't I get? And the first thing that popped out of my mind was, Father God, teach me how to play tennis.
Really?
That's a stupid prayer. God of the universe teaching some little guy. Well, I put it down in my journal. Nobody was looking. So a few other things came up. A week later, I was at a pastor's meeting downtown Los Angeles. Some new guys were there. I got introduced. Whenever I chatted with them, hit it off with one of the guys. So we're driving back home together. He says, Gordon, what do you do for fun around here? I'm new in town. I said, well, not much. I guess I'm working too hard. He says, look, I'm a tennis coach as well as a pastor. Would you like to play tennis with me? And I looked at him. I said, what do you mean? He says, don't worry. If you don't know how to play, I'll teach you how to play. And I look at, wait a minute. Well, let me tell you just what happened to me. A week ago, I was on my face crying out the guy that teaches me how to play tennis, and here you are now trying to teach me how to play tennis. Now, I mean, there's a flesh and blood patent example. So don't come to me, brother, and say, God, it's just some, you know, idea up in the sky. Give God a chance. That's all he's asking for. Give him a chance.
So by that, would you suggest that when we seek our understanding of masculinity in God, we seek mm-hmm. him and say, Father God, help to put into me what I didn't receive from my own father.
Absolutely, yeah.
When we pray that prayer, he will actually often answer through other men.
Yes, indeed, because, you know, in the Christian understanding of things, where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, that's where Jesus shows up. And Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you want to see the real Father who made us all, the Father from whom all fatherhood in heaven on earth receives his true name, as in Ephesians 3:14, then you need to see Jesus. And, you know, just get to two or three other men together and say, look, you know, we can father each other. What does the Father do? Well, he encourages his son. Okay, the other guys in your group can encourage you. You do something good, they can pat you on the back. When you're off base, that's an American metaphor, let's see, when you make a mistake, then the Father comes alongside to encourage you to get back on track. And that's what the men would do. They'll hold you accountable and say, well, maybe you blew it that time. Let's help and see what we can do to help you get back on track again. I mean, that's what a father would do for a son. That's what a group of men can do for you as a man. But you got to get real. You know, we're not in control, and that's why Jesus came, because that's why God sent Jesus to us, because you guys are killing yourselves. The enemy is having you guys for breakfast. Let me show you what reality is, and I've come to bear your shame. That's what Jesus did on the cross. How shameful, up there in front of everybody dying, being nailed. He was supposed to be the Messiah. He bare our shame. He said, you can't bear your shame. Give it to me, and when you do, you come to me and say, I feel so ashamed, I don't measure. I said, I understand, son, I'm with you. Now you give it to me, and I'll put my spirit within you. The spirit that overcame the enemy on the cross, overcame all the powers of evil and death on the cross, and I will raise you up, and I will give you supernatural knowledge, wisdom, discernment, every gift you need to be the man I've called you to be.
All right.
Don't take my word for it. Give him a chance.
Yeah. So again, it's what we are lacking, he supplies us. Let's talk about then, I started off this interview by saying, you know, is it silent? Is it strong? Is it sensitive? Is it peaceful? What is true masculinity? If you were to bring it down to a few character traits then, what is masculinity and what does it look like?
Well, I'm going to have to balk at that, because I don't want to put character traits out there and say, if you try to do this right thing, then you're a man. See, it's not about what you do that makes you a man. It's about what God does that makes you a man. True manhood is not about all the things we do, but it's about what God does, and it's about sonship. In Romans 8:14, it says, the spirit God has given you does not make you a slave and cause you to be afraid. Rather, the spirit God has given you is one of sonship who enables you to cry out, Abba, Father. What makes a man is by knowing he's a son first. You don't get to be a man without being a boy, without being a son. But most of us want to skip that because it's so painful to be a son, because our own father, earthly fathers, hurt us so badly. But we've got to go, there's no way around that wound. You've got to go through it. You've got to face up to it, as we talked about earlier. And then miss that, start crying out, find that cry for Abba, Father, for God is your father. Gather together with other men, let the Spirit of God come to you there, and he will lead you into manhood.
That's interesting, because that's a very different approach to what we often see in the past. We talk about courage, we talk about strength, we talk about...
Everywhere you go, you talk about all these things you've got to do in order to be a man. I mean, oh, don't give me another thing. I already feel ashamed enough. Tell me one more thing I've got to do, and I know I can't do it. That's right in the Scriptures. The Apostle says in Romans 7, I know that good doesn't live in me, that my human nature, because even though the desire to do good is in me, I can't do it. Who will save me from this body taking me to death? That's the question. It's not, give me another thing I need to do to measure up. I'm 64 years old. I'm tired of playing. I haven't got the energy to play those kind of games anymore. I'm real. I'm dying. I'm not ignorant. I'm dying. Don't tell me more things I got to do in order to be a man. I want a father.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, this is very much a principle of Christian living, let alone masculine living, that we don't earn our way to God, try and act our way to God. He actually comes into us by his Spirit.
That's
and
right.
Then we start to live out the way that he would want us to live out. Having said that, though, mm-hmm. of course, when he comes into a woman's life, it'll probably be result in different activities and different actions, and say perhaps a man. Oh, a lot of those will be the similar, I would suggest. But when God does invade a man's life, though, what might we expect when it comes to masculinity?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's a confidence in your sonship that says, I can move ahead now because I know my Father's with me. Not because I know I'm going to do the right thing. Not because I know I'm the good guy here. Because I know my Father's with me. Joshua 1:9. Remember that I've commanded you to be determined and confident. Don't be afraid or discouraged. For I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go. That's what we didn't get from earthly dads. My dads were not with us wherever we go. So this Father God will be with you. When you begin to have that relationship with him, you will be confident to be able to step out in situations. Well, I'm not sure which way to go or what to do here, but I know my Father's with me. And even if I step off the trail somewhere, he'll speak. And that's Isaiah 30. If you should go off the trail, the right or left, you'll hear my voice behind you saying, here's the road, follow it.
So from what you've been telling us tonight, it's not about having a whole set of characteristics that we learn to try and become. It's
no.
about God the Father actually living in us and then us being sons and responding out of that relationship, which all comes down to prayer. There's going to be a whole bunch of folks listening to us now, kind of like, okay, well, where do I go from here? Mm-hmm. What kind of prayer would you lead people in to help them to enter that relationship
right.
that you're talking about?
Three words. I give up. my most recent books, Fight Like a Man, the first chapter is called First We Surrender. First We Surrender. Not to the powers of the world, not to the enemy, not to the circumstances. We surrender to Jesus. We give up to Father God and say, I can't do this. I need you to come and do it in me. That's where faith begins. That's where life begins. That's where manhood, that's where sonship begins. And let us say where manhood begins. That's the prayer. I give up to you, Father God. Come now by the power of your Spirit and fill me and lead me and guide me. You start on your knees and you begin to let God come into your heart. You begin to get real enough with God so that you can dare to be real with a few other men. And you build your platoon, and you start getting accountable, you start getting healed, you start looking at your wounds, you go to the hospital, go to your church, go to a place where find other men. It's hard sometimes these days, but you got to find some other men who are on the journey too.
Yeah.
There are numbers of churches in Australia I've been to, I know, where they're really dealing with these issues, and I would urge men to pray about it and then go find those churches and get connected.
Okay, I give up. That's about as simple as it gets. As long
yeah.
as it's heartfelt, that's amazing. All right, Gordon, great to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us on Open House.
You bet, Sheridan. My pleasure.
Yeah, Gordon Dalby, author of Healing the Masculine Soul, Fight Like a Man, a whole bunch of other books talking about this very difficult, important area of masculinity. His website, abbafather.com. That's ABBAfather.com.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.